Hey, this is Dr. Lila with Making Love Better. I am so excited about joining you all on today. I know it's been a minute, and I'm really not liking the sound of that any longer because I find myself expressing that a lot more than what I really prefer doing. But with all of that's going on, I still celebrate the fact that I'm able to show up in this space for you on today. How are you all doing out there in podcast land? I realize there's been a lot going on for all of us. So I pray that you're well. I pray that your hearts are well. I pray that your relationships are well. Even more so that your marriage is well. Because we realize that the better you are in your marriage, the better opportunity it gives for your family to be well. So listen, I wanted to jump on today to share with you something that I believe can change the trajectory of your marriage if your marriage is one that's been heading down a slope into the negative. It's something that researchers such as John Gottman has been able to discover. And I suspect that if you are someone who have a good marriage and you're experiencing a deep level of connection, then more than likely you are already doing this one particular thing. So on today, I'm going to share more with you about this one thing that you can begin doing on today that can change the atmosphere of your marriage. Just this one thing. And if you're already doing it, I celebrate you, and you will be in the category of those who are leaning in to your spouse. You guys are leaning in to one another, and you will be more than likely somewhat familiar with this technique. So hold on, and I'll be right back with you right after this.
Is life being sucked out of your marriage due to poor communication, lack of intimacy, sexual issues such as ED, low desire, or even pornography addiction? Do you desire to have a better marriage? If so, contact Dr. Lila at Make a Better Marriage. We specialize in breathing life into relationships that are on life support. We also help couples to have better communication, better intimacy, and better sex.
Hey, I am back. So listen, I suspect that you held on and you want to know about this one thing, and I am ready to share that thing with you. But before I do, I just want to give you some context for the information, right? You know, we are all created for relationships. And of course, the most primary relationship, as if you're a believer like I am, is that of our relationship with our Creator, God Himself. If you can think back, most individuals are very familiar with how Adam came about and how God created Adam, and he set him in the Garden of Eden. But even as he placed him in the Garden of Eden, among all of the animals, and certainly God's presence was there, still too, God recognized that it was not good for man to be alone. And with that statement, God created Eve for Adam to have as a companion, as a helpmeet. So I say all of that to say we are designed for relationship. We are designed for attachment. We are designed for community, right? And as we think about being in community, we all have been birthed inside of a community, a family of origin. And with such, we all have a need for love. We have a need for acceptance, and we have a need to be understood. So I'm going to say that again. We all, and it's not based on race, it's not based on gender, it's not based on culture. It's a universal need. Every human being have three psychological needs, and those needs are to be loved, the need to be understood, and the need for safety and security. So with that in mind, regardless of who you are, regardless of what age or stage you're in, and I will be speaking more specifically to married couples, is that we will always try to have these needs met. We always are looking for ways for these needs to be fulfilled. And we understand that in our marital relationship, that your spouse is limited, that the ideal would be to serve one another in a way that can respond to being very sensitive to meeting these needs, but also understanding that there will be holes and gaps in between because your spouse is not God. And this is where, too, we benefit from having relationship and being in communities with other family members, with friends, with trusted loved ones, with people in our communities, inside of our churches, that there's various ways that we can be in relationship with others so that these needs are being fulfilled or being cultivated, or being nurtured, if you will. So we understand that in our childhood relationship with our parents are of great significance because it's in those relationships serves as ideally a safe haven for cultivating love, cultivating security, safety, and being heard and being understood. And then to the degree that we experience love, we experience being understood and experience safety and security, will formulate attachment. And what do I mean by attachment? Attachment means that you look to a particular person, or be it your mother, be it your father, as a person who have responded to those needs, as a person of safety, as a person who provides for you, not just with that of food and clothing and shelter, but also with the psychological needs as far as emotional needs. And it's quite interesting. I realize that God uses our relationship with our parents as a way for us to experience love, but also ideally to get to know Him as well. Now, we do realize that we live in a fallen world, and sometimes the total opposite takes place, in that children don't feel loved, they don't feel safe, they don't feel as if they are being heard and understood. So therefore, bonding doesn't take place, attachment doesn't take place. And when attachment is not there, it does interfere with the ability to be able to bond and be able to experience intimacy. And what research has been able to discover and expose is that our early childhood relationships will give us some clues about how we will show up in our adult relationships, be it relationships that are friendships or be it more intimate romantic relationship. So I say all of that to say this one thing that I'm talking about that we can do to help to remain in connection with our loved one is very significant. I don't know about you, but I know my husband and I have had to do a lot of work because like most individuals, we grow up in families, and I should say it like this, all families have a level of dysfunction, and that's because when you take into consideration that we're living in a fallen world and we all have been impacted, so therefore the impact brings about a sinful nature, in which the sinful nature contributes to us being limited, that even in our best attempts, there will be some holes, there will be some shortcomings, there will be some ways that we are going to fail, and we're going to disappoint, and we're going to offend, and we're going to misunderstand. And as I say so often with clients, when we do fall, when we do make mistakes, and when we do come up short, the best that we can do is to ask the question, what happened? How did I get here? What am I to learn here? And furthermore, how can I grow from this discomfort? How can I grow from this pain? So one of the things that couples who have successful marriages, whose marriages are considered what John Gottman calls, who are masters, marriages that are fulfilling and satisfying. One of the things that researchers such as John Gottman has been able to discover is one thing that they do really well that makes a significant difference in the environment of their relationship is as it relates to this whole ideal of being of loving, which is what we need, feeling secure and being feeling understood, is they do this thing that's called turning towards one another. And what do I mean? What is meant by turning towards one another? Turning towards one another simply means that they position themselves to respond to their spouse's bid for interaction. So I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it a different way. Couples who have good marriages, have good relationships, they are very mindful to respond to their spouse when they reach out. And I'm not just speaking of reaching out sexually, no, I'm not speaking of that at all. But when they're reaching out as it relates to trying to reaching out for a connection. And I find this very interesting in the sense that if you can go back to the dating phase of your relationship or the early phase of meeting your spouse, who wasn't your spouse at that time, but still yet, the early phase of the relationship, if you sit and think about, this is something that you probably did well also. You paid attention and you responded when they made a comment, or you responded when they aimed to get your opinion about a matter, or you responded when they reached out to you, be it physically, be it emotionally. You didn't let their attempt to connect go without a response. So what does that look like? I mean, again, depending on how long you've been married, you may have a flow as to how your spouse tries to connect with you, how they reaches out for you. I know one of the things that I do with my husband is sometimes I'll just walk up and put my hand on his bald head and just lightly touch him, and he will respond by just wrapping his arms around me. Or sometimes when he is out and he loves nature, and so do I, that's something we both share together. And in our backyard, actually in our community, we have a neighborhood hawk. And from our understanding, this hawk has been living in this neighborhood for quite some time. And we can tell he's very comfortable because he flies pretty low. And sometimes he'll take occupancy on a low branch, you know, in some of the trees in our backyard, some of the oak trees and what have you. And when my husband is out there on the deck, he would beckon for me to come out so I can see, because he knows I like looking at the hawk as well and just, you know, basking in the glory of God. So he would motion for me to come out. So that's a bid to connect, right? So he knows too that I oftentimes keep my head down in the computer or books or whatever, but it does give me an opportunity to look up. But when he motions for me to come out, I don't sway him away. I don't ignore him. What do I do? What do you think I do? I stop what I'm doing. I pull away from it. And I join him on our deck so I can join in this experience, in this moment with him. So, but sometimes for couples, it may be something as maybe your spouse is viewing something online, reading a news story, or watching a film, and they really want you to partake in the moment with them. And they say, wow. And if they're saying, wow, that means they're inviting you into the experience. And wise couples, couples who are considered to be masters, couples who are considered to have good marriages, they don't let the wow just fall to the ground. They lean in and they ask the questions. Wow, what's going on? What do you see? They become curious about what their spouse is wowing about. They become curious about what their spouse is fascinated about, right? And sometimes it can be things simply as, you know, it can be a moan, or it can be a groan, or it can even be something that's not even verbal. Get that? Have you ever walked into the room with your spouse and you've noticed that their countenance wore down, or their countenance was atypical? And for those who are considered masters, they turn towards their spouse. And to be a master, what you want to do is you want to turn towards them. You want to ask. You want to be inquisitive. Hey, what's going on? You have this look on your face. Become curious. And you know what turning towards suggests? Not just suggests, but turning towards supports that you care for your spouse. You're connected. You're tuned into them. Right? That you love them and you're there for them. And it helps to fortify attachment. So I want to encourage you to begin practicing this one thing. I'm not sure where your relationship may be, and your relationship may need a boost, and your relationship may need an overhaul. And regardless of where you are, and even you may already be doing these things, right? But we can always take it up a notch. We can always upgrade. So I want you to take away from this particular podcast on today and begin it today. Begin it immediately. Practicing, tuning in, tuning towards your spouse when they make attempts to connect with you. And again, sometimes their attempts will be overt, and sometimes it may be covert, where you see an opportunity to connect with them, and where they may not have necessarily said anything, but yet you're sensing a shift. You're sensing something that's going on. So again, I'm making love better. This is Dr. Lila, encouraging you to turn towards your spouse more. If you turn towards your spouse at least 85% of the time, you will experience a marriage that is a lot more satisfying. So until next time, make love better.
If this podcast has been a blessing to you, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review. And join forces with us to preserve marriages by sharing this podcast with family and friends. And remember to visit us on our website at makeabettermarriage.com.